The hot seat is actually on a seat right now with Peace River MLA Dan Williams, and it's important to notice that we are socially distanced as we do this interview. So if anybody out there concerned about that, we can put those eases to rest. So first off, Dan, always great to have you on. And let's talk about the bridges here. I mean, obviously this is the one, and I almost feel bad about it because I've been talking to Minister McIver and others about it, Mayor Tarpey, but this is one. And how excited were you to finally take that first ride across that northern deck?
It was terrific. It felt so natural, actually, with the road work the way it was. It felt like it always should be. I'm so happy for the constituency. It's an entire regional bridge, to be honest. Yes, it's linking both sides of our town together, hospital to RCMP, downtown to the West Hill, but it's also an important strategic link. It was a safety concern the way we had it before. We have 17,000 cars a day crossing there. It splits our town in two, so it is hugely important for us. I couldn't be more proud. And the big deal is, I was just speaking to the Chamber of Commerce this morning. They figure it could pump in as much as $1 million a month to the local economy, whether it be through local contracts for lumber, dirt work, all sorts of construction jobs and bridge itself, the spinoff of the housing and everything. That is huge for the area, especially with the downturn we went to after the disastrous NDP pulling out Carmen Creek. It was really important for us to continue that. So I was very, very happy that we had that completed, and I think it's nothing but good times going forward. We're going to be refurbishing the new bridge over the next two seasons, construction seasons as well, which will be not only creating efficiencies, hopefully that project will also be on time and on budget as this one was, but it's also going to continue to create jobs, diverse jobs within good paying jobs within our regional economy. So like I said, very, very happy and very pleased to have worked with the town, and just a huge shout out to Alberta Transportation and the contractors. They were top-notch, professional, efficient, the best in the world here in Northern Alberta.
Awesome. And I guess as well, Tom Tarpey, and obviously, although you and the previous government will not agree on much, that they kind of got the ball started on this, but Mayor Tarpey, obviously a huge partner in this.
Yep, for sure. A huge credit to the town for the advocacy that they had. And I'll give credit to my predecessor, Debbie Jabour, for the hard work that she put into it. I know it was a big project for her. And I will criticize the NDP on their disastrous economic policies, but I am grateful for this project that they started off, and I'm very glad that the government continued to work on it.
Awesome. And let's move up to another bridge. This is, I would say, you know what, and I do apologize on your record if I'm missing something, but I would say number four in terms of the big ones, and the water project, the reservoir, now the Crete Bridge. That was one, and I remember interviewing Minister McIver about this, and he said, I just want to make sure I heard them right, that they're willing to actually finance and help finance this bridge through a user fee. And look at that, something that this community wanted. We know they needed it for Tompkins Crossing, and an innovative solution. Your thoughts on how that will play out?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's first talk about, this is more than number four for the region, and we can look at Manning and look at the Deller Lodge expansion. We can look at Blue Hills with the gas pipeline for safety in the winter, for making sure they're heated. There's a number of projects. This is just one in a long litany of continued investment in rural Alberta. And the exciting thing is, it's user fee, and it's asked for by the local community, and it's going to be paid for by industry. The truth is, I mentioned earlier, the Peace River Bridge, 17,000 vehicles a day are crossing. In Tompkins Landing, they're estimating it as 400 vehicles a day. So the disparity is very large. The truth is, there is a lot of infrastructure that can benefit industry in rural Alberta, especially rural northern Alberta. But we will not be able to pay for it. Increasingly, we will have less dollars than we used to have in the province of Alberta. We need to be more effective and efficient. Every other province has introduced this user fee model where it makes sense. And I'm telling you, this one makes sense. I was not starting this job thinking there would be a user fee bridge in the Peace River area crossing at Tompkins Landing. But I'm a convert to it because I realized very quickly there was no other way for us to get infrastructure like this with that kind of traffic that we have, only 400 cars. So as I spoke to local industry, as the ferry was running towards the end of its life, the reality is there was no other way to get this, and industry was willing to pay for it on both sides of the river, whether you're talking to residents in Paddle Prairie, Blue Hills, Lacrete, Fort Vermilion, all the way up to High Level. Residents are very open to this. In fact, many of them are begging and asking for it. Yeah. Industry is begging and asking. It will be more effective and efficient for them. Here's the thing. It'd be the height of arrogance for me, the elected official, to represent their interest, to somehow work against them getting the bridge. I am not in a spot to tell them you're not allowed to pay for your own bridge. I think that would be the opposite of why I got elected. I need to make sure I listen to constituents, and this is what they're not just asking for, they're begging and screaming for, and that's what I'm here to do, is help them out with these kind of really important infrastructure projects in the north.
Yeah, definitely, and that's one of them too, and I know obviously with some, you know, some things that maybe have been mentioned in the legislature that now certain political opponents are saying that this could lead to the future tolls of many roads. So, you know what, let's start with a project right here. Would it be a safe bet that the other deck of the bridge will not be a toll road?
No, this is not, issue. There's not going to be toll roads on infrastructure where it's the only route. To be honest, people are begging for this bridge to be built. There's no bridge built without user fee. That's just a bottom line. I mean, what kind of government would say, I'm going to, on principle, stop you from getting the infrastructure you need, save your industry a huge amount of dollars, open up way more access to forestry for getting the cut to the mills, open up way more opportunities for transport and agri-goods. It's a safety issue. I mean, last year we had vehicles crashing through because they drove before, obviously they shouldn't be, that ice bridge is in place and getting through. And people normally get out safely, thank God. That's not always the case that it happens. It's insane to tell people, because there are, you know, blown out of proportion fears that are not at all true, stoked by NDP fears about creating toll roads on you know, Anthony Handy or the Deerfoot, which are total, like, lies straight up, to tell people in northern reaches of Alberta, I'm talking 11 hours north of Calgary, that they can't have the bridge that they want when they want to pay for it, paid for by industry, which will help save industry money, make it safer and more efficient for local residents. It would be the opposite of reasonable good governance.
Awesome. All right. And also as well, we know in the press conference, you were appointed to be the lead consultant on expansion of palliative care, $14 million to spend. And of course, Minister Shandro appointed you to that position. So have you been having a lot of meetings around that? Have you been having a lot of discussions around that? That's got to be taking up a lot of your time, I imagine.
It is a really important topic. The truth is, Kenny, that every single Albertan, as I've told you before, is either going to themselves or their family member pass through palliative care and end-of-life care in Alberta. It can be a difficult subject, but so important, because the purpose of palliative care is to provide comfort at the end of life. And if you talk to anyone who works in the industry, healthcare workers, physicians, nurses, all sorts of professionals, they'll tell you it's a time of growth in a lot of these people's lives, whether they be young children diagnosed with cancer or some other tragic life-ending or life-limiting illness, or folks towards the end of their life, having lived a full life. It's so important we provide comfort. These are the individuals that have sacrificed so much very often for our province and our society. We need to make sure we are concerned and are compassionate towards them. Alberta is a world leader in palliative care. If I've learned anything, it's it's the innovative way that we try and make sure we provide that comfort and that care to folks at the end of their life, so that they can continue to grow towards the end of their life. But that being said, there's room for improvement, and it's our job as government to make sure we're compassionate. It's our job to make sure we're caring for these people, for their health care when they're most vulnerable, and that's why I believe they have so much dignity at the end of their life. And I'm moved as I speak to these families, individuals, and healthcare professionals. Yeah. That give so much in a very, very touching moment. And we have to make sure we support them and make sure these folks have the supports they need. And that's what this record additional $20 million and $14 million left, we've spent six already, is about. That's why I'm meeting with folks across the province, whether you be hospice, long-term care, or family that's gone through this experience. It's important that I hear directly from you guys.
Awesome. Awesome. And of course, we'll put the contact info up there for MLA Williams Constituency Office if you want to get a word in with that.
And, please do.
Of course, absolutely. Now, here's an interesting one. And it was kind of one where I sat back and I was listening to Todd Lowe and your colleague in Central Peace Notley make a statement on flattening the fear curve. And that is obviously, nobody's disputing the COVID's with us and the challenges that it is bringing, but you know, Todd Lowe did make some statements and saying that pointing out to AHS statistics, I should mention that average age of death 82, and basically he just kind of reinforced what I think the health minister of health had been saying, it's really about protecting the elderly and the vulnerable, but there's a fear curve out there. Do you agree that there may be a fear curve?
I'll tell you, I agree 100% with what Jason Kenney says all the time in almost every news conference. He says we shouldn't fear COVID, but we should respect that there is a health reality there. And fear is a horrible place for us to go when we're dealing with this. It creates an irrational response. The truth is, our goal has not and will not be and could never be zero spread. That would be impossible. Irresponsible. Never mind impossible. The truth is, there are huge dramatic public health consequences that are a part of this question. We are against lockdowns. Lockdowns like we see in the United Kingdom, like we see in the state of Victoria in Australia, like we see in American states, like we see in certain municipalities like Toronto, for example. Those are not healthy. Those are not healthy. And I don't just mean COVID. I mean to say emotional and mental health. I mean to say all sorts of questions surrounding elective surgeries and necessary surgeries. We need to make sure that folks' entire health is taken in this picture. We need to protect not just their lives, but their livelihoods as well in terms of the economic consequences. Now, all that being said, the fact is, the biggest concern I have, the priority I have, is making sure our healthcare system is not overwhelmed. If you are someone who depends on dialysis, if you're someone who is elderly and doesn't suffer from COVID, or if you have any kind of ailment, you need access to this wonderful healthcare system we have in the province of Alberta. We cannot overwhelm that. That is my primary concern. And that is why we're asking individuals, and Jason makes this point, the premier makes it regularly, it ultimately comes down to personal responsibility of Albertans. That is how this is going to be solved. We're not out there policing this stuff. What we're there doing is saying reasonable Albertans understand, however you feel about COVID, that lockdowns aren't the solution. But ignoring public health concerns is not the solution either. That means making sure that our hospitals can continue to operate. We creeped up from somewhere in the neighborhood of 30-odd folks in hospital over the summer at any given time to 192. Now, that might sound like a small number, but the concern is exponential growth. And as soon as it starts to happen, most folks who get COVID, thank God, will be fine. But there's a small number that will continue to worsen in their health and will need hospitalization and, God forbid, intensive care. And when that happens, if it turns into exponential growth, doubling and then doubling and then doubling and one day to the next, that's the concern for the healthcare system. Now, I want to make sure folks understand I don't want to be unreasonable about this. I want people to understand that we have an entire person we're looking at when we look at our citizens. We have an entire society to look at and an economy to look at. But part of that society and that person is access to that healthcare.
Amen.
And that's what I'm concerned about. So I ask you to be reasonable, to be common sense Albertans about it. And if you do that, I'm certain this will not be a problem. And the last thing we're going to do is go to any of these lockdown situations. It's not something that myself or our government's looking at. What we're looking for are reasonable actions from Albertans. And that, to be fair, that's why we've had the best health response and the least amount of restrictions anywhere in the country. It's because we have had reasonable Albertans making reasonable common sense decisions.
Yeah, no doubt. And also as well, some recent acts that have been passed, the Financial Statutes Amendments Act, as well as the Local Authorities Elections Amendment Act. Now, you know, we're going to have some municipal elections coming up here soon. So in saying that, though, the Municipal Elections Act, what can you tell us a little bit about that?
I mean, this is an important act. Basically, what it's going to be doing is providing more opportunity for engagement for citizens. This is going to make it easier for folks to be able to vote and engage. It makes it more clear. It makes it so we can hold some of these local elections on the same time as municipal elections. It makes it more efficient as well. And so there's a red tape issue that we're addressing as well at the same time. And the other thing we're doing is we're putting reasonable limits in third-party spending when it comes to some of these elections. We're talking about school boards and others. So we need to make sure that we have an electoral system that's working for the citizens. And that's what this act is helping to do.
Awesome. Now, this is the one that I had to get to, and I almost feel guilty because it's the Remembrance Day tomorrow. It should have probably been the first question, but looking at the list, you are having a contest on your MLA page with students. Talk to me about that one.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
Well, I'll tell you, my family served in World War II. My grandfather was a member of the Grimshaw Legion, actually, and it was so important for me growing up to remember the fact that he served. It's important for me to remember that so many Canadians, they died, they sacrificed the ultimate sacrifice of their life for the Canada that would be, the Canada that we now live in, the province that I'm now a member of the legislature for. And if you come to the legislature, you'll see everything about the legislature is tied into the sacrifice of those who went before us. Sacrifice for our queen, for our country, for our freedoms, more importantly than anything else. The freedoms that we all take advantage of, that we take advantage of right now mm-hmm. in the free press, and freedom of movement, freedom of expression we all enjoy. That was sacrifice made by people who went before us. This is not a political question. This is a decency question. This is, are you somebody who can respect the sacrifice of those who went before and understand it's a weight that we don't have to bear because they did? And happily, I see, you know, Peace River region folks, you know, all the way up north to Fort Vermilion, where I'm going to be going to a Remembrance Day ceremony tomorrow. People take it seriously. People wear their poppies. People will be tuning in online. Find a digital online Remembrance Day ceremony to go to if you're not going to one in person. I tear up almost, or get close to tearing up almost every year, thinking of that when I go to one of these ceremonies, and I'm very grateful. I'm going to be spending time with veterans and family members of veterans in Fort Vermilion, and many of whom are Métis or First Nations who sacrificed so much for this country because they truly believe in this country, and I'm truly proud of what they did.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And in terms of the contest, yes. If any young students, I mean, there's still maybe a little bit of time left.
If you want to
be, how do they get in on this?
So you need to find my Facebook page, find the email, and send email a link or the video itself that you as a student want to make. It can be you talking to the camera, very simply made if you want, about why it's so important to remember Remembrance Day and the sacrifice of those glorious dead, those fallen for the sake of freedom. And submit it to me as soon as you can. We'll be posting the winners tomorrow. And the winners get a very high-quality reproduction of an escape map, which was a map printed by the Allied forces. And it's about a meter by meter large. And it's printed on material, cloth material, often silk, and the material used for parachutes. And these Canadian and Allied forces would take it into the theater of combat. So if they were shot down as an aviator or caught behind enemy lines, they would use it to escape. Or if they were in a prisoner of war camp held by the Nazi Germans, use it to escape, to fight again from the Allied lines and take the fight against totalitarianism to another level by continuing to sacrifice it. And it's just a beautiful sense of the determination of our communities and our culture at the time that understood that we were in the fight of our lives. And we will go over and over again to the front line. And this map, I think, is a beautiful expression of that.
And that's pretty, pretty cool. Now, as I always do ask whenever we do, I always like to throw a personal question. You know, sometimes I'll get Minister Drieschen, his opinion on hockey things. Doug Schweitzer will comment on baseball. Now I have Minister Madhu sometimes giving me some soccer opinions. And you know what? Now, since we've talked to it a few times, it's always fun, you say, when we dabble into the world of, like, world politics. So, I mean, very interesting situation south of the border right now. I mean, I'm not going to ask you to give, like, an opinion on that, but have you ever seen anything like that in your life, like where an election's
been
added?
Young. I'm young. I have not seen anything
like this.
You're
younger than me.
I mean, the closest probably would be the Gore-Bush election with the recount in Florida, and I think it was 2000. But bottom line for me is Alberta has a huge interest, and I have an interest for the sake of my constituents in the United States being open to our energy exports. They are our largest trading partner, not just as a nation, but as a province. Mm-hmm. We do more trade with them than anywhere else. It's so important. That's why we have offices in Texas and Washington and San Francisco. It's important we keep those trade relationships open. And that, to me, is the bottom line. Keystone XL is a number one priority for me in our relationship with the states, because that's the number one concern that I have for the residents here that work in oil and gas, that get the spinoff from oil and gas jobs growing, to see export going up, to see production increasing in our local fields again, to see Carmen Creek take off again would be terrific. That requires access to a market for our crude and our bitumen. That requires the fact that we build pipelines. That means a relationship with the states. And that's my number one priority.
Awesome. Dan, always appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kenny. Always good chatting.